So, continuing with the discussion of the exercises or the practices related to mindfulness of the body, as discussed in the discourse, sometimes called the Discourse on the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, the Four Establishments of Mindfulness. And the next one is has a analogy or a simile for it, or an example of something that is evocative of what we're practicing here, and orientation for a particular practice on mindfulness of the body. And so I'm going to read you that simile example. That one practices what we're going to talk about later, just as though there was a bag with an opening on both ends. I don't know what that means, but, you know, certainly it makes me think of the human body, which has these two openings. Things come in and things come out, these two openings. So I don't know if it's evocative of that or whether it's just a kind of bag that they used to have in the ancient world that... just as though there were a bag with an opening in both ends, full of many sorts of grain, such as hill rice, red rice, beans, peas, millet, and white rice. A person with good eyes were to open it and review it thus. Look upon it in this way. This is hill rice, this is red rice, these are beans, these are peas, this is millet, and this is white rice. So I've seen bags and bowls of mixed beans, and, you know, red beans and pinto beans and white beans and all kinds of beautiful beans. And there's a kind of dry beans, usually, and there's a kind of beauty to it, or a kind of simplicity to it. And it's kind of a delight, and sometimes I've even put my hands through them and kind of just let the hand, and they just walk, kind of roll off my hands, and just appreciating. And sometimes each different kind of bean stands out in highlight. You know, if you look at it, you can see it each distinctly, and you can also see the collection and all the different modelling of colors and shapes that are there. So this image here of this bag full of different kinds of rice, different colored rice, different kinds of beans, millet, all these things. There's clarity. You can see each one, but there's a collection of different things that we're seeing there, and kind of a specialness in seeing of it all. And maybe also kind of an amazement that this natural world produces this wide range of different seeds that become human food, and that they dry nicely in store and are available to cook at a later time and to feed us. And people who are, you know, close to the land, working the land, farmers, you know, see the seeds also as seeds that can be planted for next year's crop. And the amazement of, you know, built into these seeds is this sense of this capacity to sprout and grow and develop into plants, into flowers, into more seeds, and the cycle that continues naturally and easily. And probably for most of us, if we looked at this bag of different things, you know, you might have our preferences of which to eat, but maybe, you know, just seeing it doesn't lend itself to, you know, too much of a greed or attachment or an aversion to any particular seed. Unless maybe we're allergic to some of it, there's a kind of marvel and naturalness and ease, a beauty of sorts there, but it also is not something we easily get attached to, or the seeing of it, and it isn't that we start looking at the different seeds and say, well, that one's really a superior seed, that's a more beautiful seed. Oh, that's a terrible seed. You know, how could nature make a seed with that kind of shape, color, but it's kind of like everything is kind of seen in this natural way. This is how it is, and there's a kind of maybe an appreciation, maybe a kind of marvel at it, but also not a lot of pull to be attached or a lot of pull to be aversive to it in any kind of way. So the naturalness of it, but the, you know. So that's how I see this simile, that when the text says, just as this. And then the exercise itself is to, the translation is to review. It can mean to visualize for oneself or to bring to mind for oneself, as maybe sitting in meditation, 31 parts of the body. And this 31 parts of the body that sometimes there's 32 if we add another piece. The brain is not included, so some people add the brain and have 32 parts, is a classic and still to this day a regular meditation practice taught in Southeast Asian Buddhism and Theravadan Buddhism. I've known people that when they get ordained as a monastic, this is the first meditation practice they're taught. And so it takes memorizing these 31, 32 parts of the body. And so just the fact that you're memorized and can recite them and then review them, visualize them for yourself, requires concentration and focus. That maybe it's a kind of an exercise of memorization and focus that's easier than something like breathing, where you don't have to memorize that you're breathing and it doesn't require this higher order attention or functioning of the mind to stay focused as memorization does. And so it's a way of training the mind to be present. And it's present for something that's very important for human beings and central to who we are, our body. And to be aware of these different parts of the body with the same naturalness and I don't know if detachment, non-attachment is the right language, but the absence of attachment, absence of aversion, but a marvel in just watching the naturalness of these beans and seeds. Same thing, just being with the body that way. And this, for some of us human beings, is a radically different way to relate to our body. Human beings, maybe because of social conditioning, maybe because it's built into almost our DNA to do this, are very concerned about our attractiveness and our non-attractiveness. And spend an inordinate amount of time, some people, with caring for that. And some people spend a lot of money concerned with their physicality and how they look. Some people spend an inordinate amount of time being critical, embarrassed, or shamed for some part of their body and how they are. And there's a kind of a higher order self-consciousness and valuation that a lot of it's learned from our society. You know, there are trends, social trends, in what kind of body types are considered attractive or appropriate or not appropriate or something like that. And then we buy into these social constructs and ideas. And there's a tremendous amount of pain that goes along with it and distress around, you know, this completely natural thing. Like, we don't see the beans being upset about being a certain kind of a seed, certain kind of shape, a different shape. They're allowed to be who they are. The trees around have all kinds of, same species tree can have all kinds of different shapes. And generally we don't look and say, you know, oh, that's a not appropriate shape to have. That branch shouldn't be coming out in that angle. It's just like all part of the natural world. So how to shift our attention from this more complicated, socially conditioned way to be concerned with our body, kind of from a kind of an image-based, you know, external image and how we project ourselves onto others, to a very different way of being with a body, I think is where we're not inclined to look at ourselves or others as, in physical terms, as being better or worse than anyone. There's no hierarchy, no judgments of people. Just, oh, this is all, so you see it in a kind of naturalness and ease of all the different ways it can be. And so this exercise begins with the four or five of the external things that we human beings tend to be most concerned with. And maybe when they start getting a teenager or You know, that's when this self-consciousness around looks becomes more and more marked. Sometimes earlier, sometimes later, depending on the social situations we're in and what is valued and all this. And so the text goes like this. A practitioner reviews or visualizes, considers this body from the soles of the feet, up from the soles of the feet down from the top of the hair. So anyway, considers his whole body in both directions, kind of reviews it, visualizes it, in this way. In this body, there are head hairs, body hairs, nails, teeth, and skin. How many of you have been preoccupied with those things? Maybe even spending a lot of money to adjust them and fix them so they're this way or that way, or upset and embarrassed or ashamed or shy about, you know, this. And you know, our society creates a tremendous amount of suffering and imposes it. We project concerns, like just this skin color, for example. I mean, it's heartbreaking what we do around this. And but here, just being reviewed, visualized, considered, like we would look at this bag of beans, just not negative, not positive, but maybe a dry bag of seeds. The seeds themselves, because they're dried, are unappetizing, and so not ready for us. They're just there, but they have their value and importance. So it starts with these external, then it gets more and more deeper inside. Maybe first to places which we're kind of neutral about. Imagine the ancient world, people didn't have a really clear sense of what these organs were, these things were. So then it goes on. Flesh, sinews, bones, bone marrow, kidneys, heart, liver, diaphragm, spleen, lungs, intestines, mesentery. So these are all, you know, if any of you have ever had a chance to look inside of a human body, I've done that going to cadaver labs, and there can be kind of an amazing beauty to it all. But also it's not a beauty that's exactly attractive or aversive. It's kind of like just, wow. It's like looking into the Grand Canyon, and wow, that's quite something. It's a natural marvel to see it. But then it goes on to things that maybe some of us, you know, would consider a little bit unclean, unattractive, maybe a little bit repulsed even. So it goes from what we would maybe be attracted to, or maybe to what we may be most commonly repulsed by, some of us. The contents of the stomach, feces, bile, phlegm, pus, blood, sweat, fat, tears, grease, spittle, snot, oil of the joints, and urine. So in some ways, what way can we look at all these different parts of the body equally? What stands, what approach can we visualize, get focused, review step by step to get concentrated, have the mind become still, and to free the mind from its reactivity for or against these different parts of the body. To the degree to which the body is a preoccupation, our own body, other people's bodies are a preoccupation for lust and whatever we might have, is there some way, the appropriate and freeing way, beneficial way, to see all these different parts of the body, the ones that we're attracted to, the ones we're repulsed by or not, and to find an equality to it all, a place of maybe, I don't know if neutrality is the right word, it seems maybe too passive, but maybe a kind of appreciation with no attachment and no aversion. Just, oh, it's the naturalness of it that frees us from the social conditioning, frees us from the self-consciousness, frees us from the preoccupation, settles us and allows us to be settled and intimate and connected to this amazing naturalness, this natural wonder, marvel of who we are physically, free of attachment and aversion. If we go inside and feel our body from the inside out, that's what the body really appreciates. I think our body appreciates best just being allowed to be the body without the overlay of all the projections and values and ideas that the mind lays on top of it. To allow the naturalness and maybe the natural beauty of who we are be that which radiates from the inside out, freeing ourselves from the particular constructs of a particular society and times that we're part of. And that way, our body, our hearts, from the inside out, will sing. Will just sing and play its song of its own naturalness and be free. So, thank you. And then we'll continue this series tomorrow. Thank you very much.